Welcome to another episode of the Binge Boys podcast. Shout out to Catherine for getting ice in the background. It's okay. I gave her permission. It's okay. This is the Binge Boys podcast. To my left, Tanner Smith.
Oh, hey. Hey. What's up? I'm in person today.
You are?
Yes.
You came over.
I did.
Tanner lives a few miles away.
There's a hole in my hair. I swear.
It's because you just need to push it more. Oh, why is there so much older, gel? Boy.
Get used to it.
Stay if I don't put it in there.
Why is there so much gel in there? Going to church later?
It's hairspray. And yes, I'm going to church later.
Are you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little late for mass.
Pious Tanner is under the chat.
That voice you're hearing also on the screen in front of me, Matt.
What's going on?
You know what it do, baby.
Dude, it is seasonal. I got all my Halloween candy and a nice glass of cider ready to record.
Jeez, you're fully embracing.
Is it Cayman
Islands?
It is not Cayman cider. Yeah, well, no, why'd I say that? Never mind.
Nope, shouldn't. Abandon ship, sir. Abandon ship. Everybody, this is the Binge Boys podcast. Do you know what that is, Tanner? The Binge Boys podcast?
It's the thing that we do every Monday. Just kidding. We review movies and TV that are popular at the moment.
I've heard we break down the hottest in TV and film.
We break down the hottest in TV and in movie.
That is what you do.
You know what? Go ahead.
Every Thursday. Well, first of all, what Matt and Tanner said is true. We break down the hottest in TV and movies every single Tuesday. And we provide value because everyone wants to know what is the hottest in TV and movies. What show, what movie, what do I need to watch next? We've got you covered. Every Thursday, we provide a bonus episode of the show entitled The Run Through. And on those episodes, I sit down with a co-host that wants to talk about movies. Now, this week, got a great episode. We've got, because it is spooky season, this coming Sunday is Halloween. So it made sense to do a spooky movie. So this week, we are doing Paranormal Activity.
Oh, God.
Which is a good time. Me and Tanner hosted that one. A little spooky situation. So
that was spooky.
If you're interested in spooky situations, go check out the run through on Thursday. And if not, we've got some good ones coming the next couple weeks. We've got Legally Blonde the week after this. We got I Am Legend the week after that. We've got Batman, National Treasure. We've got some good ones to close out 2021, but we've got some awesome ones closing out 2022. Don't forget, Matt, December. We're doing a run through for The Matrix, me, you, and Tanner.
Yeah, we are.
To prepare for The Matrix 4.
That's right.
Dude, there is no spoon. I'll watch it. You'll get that after we watch. There is no spoon.
Oh, I don't know if that means because I've never seen The Matrix.
Me neither.
That's what I'm saying. Just keep that in your back pocket. Just think there is no spoon while you're watching.
There is no spoon. So I'm glad that you said that and clarified that for me. Mm-hmm. First things first, everybody, go follow us on Instagram at Binge Boys Podcast and on Twitter at Binge Boys Pod. That's where you get our announcements, our top five lifts, our top facelifts, our top five lists, our reviews, and more. Next thing, go to iTunes and make sure you've left that 5-star rating as well as a short review. And of course, tell a friend in need. It's 2021. Everybody is on their hotness and fitness journey. And one of the biggest aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal prepping. Most people have no idea where to start. They're overwhelmed by their options and they don't know what meals suit them best for the goals they want to achieve. Luckily, Prepped and Ready has that solution. Prepped and Ready delivers high quality, fresh meals with health and fitness in mind with a variety of healthy, low calorie, but delicious meals. We can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to preppedreadymeals.com and use code BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off your first time order. Now,
that's right.
Tanner, I'm curious. I can't ask you this really. Well, actually, I can ask you this. You brought us Dr. Pepper. Do you ever leave? Well, thank you. Cheers. Do you ever leave out your Dr. Pepper when you're drinking it for too long. And you're like,
yes,
this sucks.
Well, you know what?
Then it just
I'd be lying if I said, yeah, because I freaking drink them in 2 seconds. But that happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's annoying. It's
really hot out.
Maybe you pop one and you leave it overnight and you wake up the next morning. And you're like, this is uncondensed. Oh, yeah. This is, you know, all the fizz is gone. It's not fun.
It tastes like
pour it out.
What if I told you there's a solution to that?
There is a solution.
There is a solution.
Actually a solution.
There that's is awesome. A solution.
Because I won't. Then I won't feel pressured to drink an entire bottle of a 2 liter or something.
Well, if you're like me, you have 20 different water bottles or koozies or containers in your kitchen, and it's just plain annoying and inconvenient having to swap out different ones for different beverages. It's annoying. If you share that frustration with me, which it sounds like you both do,
yes,
then let me tell you about Frost Buddy.
Frost Buddy.
Frost Buddy is the world's first universal beverage can / bottle cooler. The Universal 2.0 holds 16-ounce soda bottles and cans, all slim cans, 12-ounce bottles and cans, and many, many more. There's not many bottles or cans that this thing doesn't hold.
Yeah.
So what does it do?
No longer will your dishwasher be filled with seven different bottles and coolers after a long week. No, sir. No, ma'am. Just one. That's Frost Buddy. If you're interested in jumping on the Frost Buddy train, go to frostbuddy.com and use code Logan Lewis for 10% off the purchase. That's Logan Lewis.
That's you.
That's me.
Dude.
That's
this
awesome.
Is great. Yeah. Looking at this, like as a can insulator enthusiast, I have many. And it's frustrating when you get like a tall boy or like a seltzer can that's like a different shape and it doesn't fit in one. Like, dude,
no
you got to get the universal. That's amazing.
Yeah. And fully transparent, this isn't necessarily a sponsorship. I'll be transparent with you guys and the listeners. They have a great ambassador program. You can go online. You can put it in your Instagram bio. You can promote it. Tell your friends and family. And use that code and you get a discount.
Oh.
And it's just kind of, it's free marketing on their part, but it also, they gave me a coupon code to buy one for almost half off so that I could represent it and talk about it. And it's in transit. It'll be here this week probably. So next week I'll be able to give you a real full in-depth thought about it, but I'm very excited.
Little unboxing.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll do a little unboxing on the live. Maybe we'll test drive it. We'll get a bunch of different size cans and bottles and we'll try it out.
Dude.
Bring some monsters.
That's you, bud.
They do hold monster cans.
They
hold a lot of cans. I actually found these guys on TikTok and the CEO, the guy who founded it, they went to Shark Tank and they got turned down.
So let's bring them up.
Meanwhile, dude, they went viral on TikTok and now their sales are through the roof. That's and now awesome. They're doing really well.
Good for them.
So
go TikTok.
Shout out to these guys. I'm excited to see what kind of stuff we can do with them. That's a lot of fun content. And it's just something that's relatable. I mean, everybody has this frustration.
His frustration.
Even so
if you put it back in the fridge. It freaking sucks.
Exactly.
Yes.
Why not just keep it in your Frost Buddy?
Exactly. I'll put
and
it
think about it. Even how cute is that? Frost Buddy.
I did do Frost
Buddy. It's a great
buddy.
Name.
Your little Frost Buddy. Exactly. It's an amazing name. And I can't wait for you guys and everybody else close to us in our lives and the listeners to get one. And they're not overly expensive. You'd think something like this would cost you 60, 70 bucks. Like a Yeti, it costs $35 straight up. And that's without the discount code.
And then Yetis, you got to buy a bunch of different sized ones for the tall ones, the skinny ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the reason we got to go with Frost Buddy.
Frost Buddy.
So
cool.
Frost Buddy.
Nice.
Logan Lewis, 10% off. Do it. Guys, we got some headlines of the week. Let's talk about them. Number one, World War Hulk is apparently a movie that is slated to begin production in 2022. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, Logan, doesn't Universal own the rights to making Hulk movies? Well, yes. But also, no. Because they lost those licensing rights last year.
Oh.
So.
Finally.
This means that, of course, we're going to get the upcoming She-Hulk series on Disney Plus late or early 2022. The thoughts are that Mark Ruffalo is going to be heavily involved with that show and that we're going to get a continuation and a solo Hulk movie starring Mark Ruffalo. I think it's about time.
It's about time.
It's about right.
So Hulk's film rights. Let's talk about that real quick, because that's the major reason we haven't gotten a solo Hulk movie, you know, so far in the MCU in at least recent history. So The Incredible Hulk came out in 2008, 13 years ago. It was the only Phase 1 movie to not have a sequel, but that's about to change. So because of the rights releasing, production will probably start in late 2022. Which means it'll probably release late 2023 or early to mid 2024, which seems a while away, and it is, but we're already almost to 2022. We're almost there. So Think about that. World War Hulk, in case people are wondering why this specific title, why would we assume? Well, it's a popular comic book storyline published from May to November 2007. It's essentially the sequel to Thor Ragnarok, where the story focuses on Hulk coming back to Earth looking for revenge because he was banished by the Illuminati. Now, the Illuminati is not the Illuminati that we hear about in, you know, meme culture of
I thought,
you know,
Jay-Z was about to enter the MCU.
Jay-Z and Beyonce are sending Hulk to another planet.
They gone.
The Illuminati is a team of heroes that consists of, like, Doctor Strange. I can't do it either. And a guys. Few others. And essentially, they send Hulk to outer space because they're like, you're too violent for Earth. We can't have you here. And so World War Hulk is the story of Hulk coming back to Earth for revenge against those heroes. So it's rumored that the Illuminati will be introduced in Doctor Strange at the Multiverse of Madness. And this film will follow the events of She-Hulk. And it'll probably be the next time we see Mark Ruffalo's Hulk in full-blown action. So,
wow.
World War Hulk, up and coming, hopefully.
Yay.
Let's do it.
Next up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Muy interesante.
Keeping it on the Disney Plus train, or just the Disney train, because that seems what this podcast is all about nowadays, is just Disney.
Get that drop ready.
Yeah, really. Hayden Christensen is reprising his role as Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader in Ahsoka. So that's it.
There we go.
It was reported this week that that Hayden Christensen will be reprising his role in the Ahsoka show.
Ahsoka.
Which is set 5 years after Darth Vader's death.
Oh,
so we probably will see Anakin as a Force ghost, it looks like.
Which we should have seen.
Or we'll get flashbacks.
Which we should have seen in the final Skywalker trilogy thing. What was it called again?
The Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, why didn't we get Hayden Christensen as a Force ghost?
Because they suck.
And because Disney dropped the ball on that Star Wars.
They sure did.
Trilogy. But that's neither here nor there. We should do a run through of the new Star Wars trilogy. That'd be fun. The sequel trilogy. That'd be fun. This is also big considering that he is coming to reprise his role in Disney's upcoming Obi-Wan limited series starring Ewan McGregor.
Hello.
Which
there.
Hey, if we're looking at calendars, let's do that real quick. Looking at calendars, Disney Plus Day is it is 2 weeks from Friday. And that, I think that next week is going to be the best Binge Boys episode ever.
Oh my God.
Because there's a lot riding on that event. Oh. New Marvel announcements, probably trailers for shows like She-Hulk, Moon Knight, stuff like that.
Hopefully some Star Wars shit.
Definitely some stuff. They announced a shit ton of Star Wars shit last year. So and Obi-Wan has concluded production, I think. They're just in post production at this point, I think. Or maybe they're filming now, but at least I think they'll probably have filmed enough, kind of like DC fandom, where they can give us a peek at some of this stuff. So I think we're in for a big treat in a couple weeks.
Get ready.
Get ready for it. So that's Hayden Christensen as of right now. We'll probably hear more later. later on in a few weeks. Another superhero story. Brendan Fraser. This is breaking news. This broke just a couple hours ago. Has been cast in DC's Batgirl movie as a villain, most likely as Firefly.
Which is a
villain from the comics.
Oh, he's gonna be good.
And from the Batman Arkham Asylum video games, Firefly is a pyromaniac named Garfield Linz. After suffering extensive burns in an accident, a chemical fire that he started, Linz creates a fire-resistant suit to help him in his efforts of burning Gotham City to the ground. Which
so he's just Doctor Strange, but the Doctor Freeze, but the opposite.
Yeah,
there you go.
So he's essentially a dude who got burned in a fire caused by himself, and then to get revenge for some reason on the fire, he decides to burn half the city to the ground.
Well, he's always in jail, so that's his revenge. Putting himself in jail because he did it to himself.
Batgirl is being directed by the duo behind Bad Boys for Life and will star Leslie Grace, that made a huge impact in the Heights. She will be playing the title role Barbara Gordon, the alter ego of Batgirl. This will be the first time we get Batgirl in a major motion picture with her own movie. She's appeared in some of the old classic Batman movies with, I think, was she the one with Clooney?
Yes.
Yes.
Batman Forever.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. That's right.
Clooney was all right.
Why did Batgirl get fucking sidelined in the title? If Batgirl was in the movie, why did they not just add in like Batman, Batgirl, and Robin?
Dude, why
Robin was on the top? She was only in at the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. She had a pretty brief role.
She just went from being Barbara Gordon to Batgirl in like 30 seconds.
True.
Yeah, they should have just named it Batman and Robin and Batgirl's here too. Because Batman, Robin, and Batgirl is a terrible name.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue that great.
Plus sick Alfred. I forgot
sick Alfred. Oh yeah.
That's what brought her there. It's confusing.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Too much.
Brendan Fraser has been, however, he's no stranger to the DC universe. While this is his first time in the big screen in the DC universe, he's also been playing it on TV in Doom Patrol. He plays Cliff Steele, also known as Robot Man, in the series that started in 2019. The new role as the possible villain in Batgirl is the latest from a long string of recent casting announcements from Brendan Fraser. A release date for Batgirl has not been announced, but the movie will be released on HBO Max when it's released. And it is indeed a full-blown live action. This isn't an animated movie. This is a live action flick in the DC universe, but kind of keeping it on, kind of taking a page out of Disney's book. They're like, you know what? We can release high profile stuff on our streaming service.
Sure.
Wait. Oh,
Also, I saw this. This wasn't a headline I wrote down. This is just something I saw on Twitter this weekend. HBO Max might be getting its name changed.
To what?
Because apparently a lot of people are confused about the name HBO Max.
I figured it out like 18 months ago. I was confused when it first started, but like.
Right.
What is it?
Well, they said like that apparently stockholders and other like in polls they've done, consumers have thought that like HBO Max is just an expanded HBO, which in a way it is, but it encompasses so many different properties like Cartoon Network and DC and all those other studios that they're considering changing it to like Warner or something, like maybe Warner Max or Warner. Just because Warner Brothers owns all of those titles that they're...
The Warnerverse. Space Jam 2 called it.
Hey, Space Jam 2. Talk about... speaking of Space Jam 2, that made me think. At the end of the year, we're getting close, guys. So we're going to do top lists, top favorite movies, top favorite TV seasons we did. But I think we should do something different this year. Since we've pivoted and we haven't really talked about music and gaming much, we won't do top 10... gaming and musics. You know what we can do though is we can make a top five or top 10, depending on how many we can make up a list of, top 10 most disappointing movies of the year.
Oh, I can do that.
And I've got a few off the bat that are going to make that list.
You just want us to get mad at each other.
Yeah, true. We're just going to argue for an hour. but last headline, just wanted to tease you guys a little bit. That's my favorite part of the year, honestly. It's for Binge Boys, fun. It's my favorite, just kind of summarizing and looking back. And of course, doing a top 10 movies list for 2022, that'll be fun as well. So I'm really excited about all those episodes. I've never
been a part
of this yet. No, you haven't.
For that.
Matt got in last year. So for round two, we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, I'm done.
Along with Tanner's weird hand signals, the last headline I had on the docket was the trailer that was released for Uncharted,
which looks awesome. What do you think?
Okay. You said it. Uncharted, everybody, is a story, a prequel to the video games, starring Tom Holland as a younger Nathan Drake, showing us details on how he came to meet his friend Sully, played by Mark Wahlberg. This movie is directed by Ruben Fleischer. It's a weird looking name. The guy who's responsible for directing Venom.
Oh,
Venom. And like
producer. Well,
no, he directed Venom 1, produced Venom 2, and directed Zombieland.
Gangsta Squad.
So, of course, also starring Tom Holland as the lead role. And Antonio Banderas as the villain.
And Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yep, as Sully. So, Tanner, you kind of let off.
I think it looks
fun. What do you think?
It looks awesome. I don't know anything about Uncharted, but...
You haven't ever played them?
Never.
Really?
Ever.
Those are...
That's why you're a
PlayStation guy, and you've missed those?
I was an Xbox guy.
That's true. You were.
The movie spits in the face of the franchise they've already established. And it rips it off.
It's a prequel, though.
But in a way...
You're out of your depth. Just stop talking, Tanner.
It's upsetting, Tanner.
That I haven't played them?
No, that this... this synopsis makes me hate it a little more now because... The scene from the trailer, which is the most iconic, the scene that everyone's talking about from this trailer, is when Tom Holland is jumping from crate to crate.
Yeah.
From them all trailing out of... That's from Uncharted, like, 2.
3. It was 3. No, it's literally on the title of Uncharted 3.
It is?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Like, the cover art for the game depicts the scene right after you just did that, so...
Yeah, I don't understand... How it's a prequel, yet they're going to go and use that scene?
Yeah. Well, and also in that same game, you play as when Drake meets Sully, and it's not them in a bar having quips at each other.
Sheesh.
So I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
You don't... Like, here's the thing. He has unlimited potential. He's basically like Indiana Jones. You don't have to, like... fill out his entire story. You can just have him. You could even have Tom Holland play him and just like say, oh, he's just slightly younger than like what you play in the game. You could have it be literally any storyline you want. Whereas I feel like this is just forced for no good reason.
I have a bad feeling that it's not going to be good. And
I don't think it's going to be good.
Most video game movies are bad.
Assassin's Creed.
Which, you know, it leads me to believe that like, it'd be different if this was just a movie being made by a studio, but like PlayStation's producing it.
Yeah.
So how is PlayStation saying like, yeah, you can totally, yeah, the story, the source material, just fuck it. You can make your own origin story. And not to mention, I know he's playing a younger Nathan Drake, but Tom Holland isn't the choice here, in my opinion.
I think like it could work. I think he's not like quippy. I think of Drake as like quippy, but Tom Holland is almost like, I don't know, too like soft spoken for that. Whereas like he's talking to himself and not like to an unheard audience, which I mean is the player in the game, but like
me and Catherine watched the trailer for this before we recorded.
Man, it definitely doesn't look like
Nathan Drake. She was like, why is Tom Holland playing Nathan Drake?
Yeah.
And even though it says he's younger, like we're looking at a picture of Nathan Drake right now. And do you see this?
More of a man.
Yeah. Nathan Drake looks
manly.
And like Matt said, he's very, I don't want to make the comparison because I don't want people to think I'm like directly comparing him, but he's kind of Deadpool-y where he's like quick with the comebacks and he's sarcastic.
A little bit,
yeah. He's almost like an Indiana Jones. He's a quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a witty, sarcastic adventurer. Whereas Tom Holland, like you said, like he just gives off the impression that like to fight him, all I would have to do is just like push him down and he'll be like, like,
yeah.
Except he's
honestly, I'd rather see Mark Wahlberg as like the regular, like a standard age, like Nathan Drake. Like, I'm not a huge fan of him, but like he'd be fine. He'd be good. Yeah.
Mark, that's Catherine said the same thing. She's like, why isn't Mark Wahlberg playing him? And why don't we get somebody like Tom Hanks to play Sully or something like that? Yeah. Like that would be a cool combination. So you should play games. They're worth playing.
Remastered?
You could.
Yes, they definitely are.
Yeah.
And I will.
You should. They're really, really good games.
It looks like fun.
They're fun. Like, they're award-winning, really good games.
Yeah. Like they don't do anything like brand new in terms of like mechanics or whatever, but like everything's like hyper polished and just an absolute thrill.
In fact, like just talking about it, like I know that just talking about it makes me want to go play them because they're fun. Mm-hmm.
They're really fun.
They're like an adventure game. Like I'll have to show you a trailer for a couple of them after we're done recording. They're really fun. I highly recommend playing them.
It's like a really third person shooter with some light platforming and puzzle solving.
Yeah. Okay. It's like take Assassin's Creed, but add more
thinking.
Well, I don't want to say more puzzle solving.
Like,
but yeah,
less like go anywhere climbing and more like structured climbing, just kind of like figuring out like where you need to go.
It's not open world. It's a linear story that you follow.
All of them.
But it plays like a movie.
Yeah, a movie. Okay. Like each sequence that you play will transition into a cutscene that is like a movie, and each cutscene will transition into gameplay. They're very well made. There's four of them. I mean, they're really good. Plus a couple spinoffs, I think.
There are spinoffs?
Yeah.
I think there's like a female-driven spinoff.
Yeah, with
the main girl.
Yeah, on four. Well, no, I think it's Chloe. I don't think it's Elena.
Yes, I think it is Chloe.
Chloe's also in this movie for like, I don't know.
For some
reason. Yeah. Ooh. I'm just not. Yeah.
Oh.
This is really good. Screen Rant did this video was uploaded in 2020 November. They said Liam Hemsworth would be a really good choice for Nathan Drake.
I like
that. Or Gerard Butler.
That's perfect. That he already looks like him. Or that guy. Yeah.
Or this guy. Yeah.
I forgot his name.
What's this guy's name?
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion. Nathan Fillion. He looks just like Nathan Drake.
Really does.
In fact, I'm pretty sure, there is a Uncharted fan film out there that stars Nathan Fillion.
I think so. Do you know Nolan North, who does his voice?
Yeah.
He also would do a better job.
I'm just not sold on Tom Holland right now, man. I just...
Yeah.
I love Tom Holland. He's great for Spider-Man because that's the kind of...
It fits.
It fits. He looks like Spider-Man. I see Tom Holland like jumping from like railings to like the chandelier and he's like, whoa! And I'm just like, that's not who Nathan Drake is, man.
No.
Whoa!
Yeah, just like that. So...
Then he hit the classic "oh crap" when the car fell out of the airplane. I'm like, that's only in the trailer because it has to be. Just
And
I don't like that catchphrase for him, but like, still.
The only thing I found great about this trailer is that last scene where the Scottish guy comes up and just starts going "you motherfucker" and starts spitting a bunch of shit and just fluent Scottish, and Tom's just like, "huh?" Like,
that was funny.
That was funny, but other than that, I'm going to go in with very low expectations and hopefully be surprised.
Sure.
Matt's out on this movie. You can tell by the body language. Matt is
not out. I was just looking at the next thing on our thing, and I had like another thing saying like Uncharted movie and game comparison. It's just, what's my notes?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic, but from the moment we heard that Tom Holland was cast, I immediately was like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
Even someone like, this is a horrible name, so please forgive me, but honestly, maybe not, because he hasn't really gotten an opportunity like this before. But Josh Peck, he's lost a lot of weight. He has a good bod. He's a little more mature looking.
Nah.
He could be quick. I don't know. I don't
How
know.
Is he in that? I thought you stopped watching that dog cop show he was in.
I do. We haven't. Have you watched it?
I haven't seen any.
I haven't watched an episode since the first one.
Yeah, the first two I watched, and that was it.
Dude, next week we'll do, since it's the first of the month, we'll do What Have We Been Binging? There's this show that Matt probably won't watch because it's borderline spooky. But, bro, Midnight Mass.
Oh, that sounds scary as shit already.
You've got to watch it.
Is it scary?
It's more mysterious. In fact, Matt could get away with watching it because it's not overly... It's not like...
He's like, nah.
It's not horror. It's just more suspense and mystery, but there are horror elements. There are moments where I'm scared.
I
watched the
trailer and I wasn't interested. Like, not even just for horror, just the story doesn't interest me.
It's... You, Tanner, you would knowing you would jump all over it.
Really?
It is.
What's it about?
Well, we'll talk about it next week, okay. Or I'll tell you afterwards. I don't want to convolute this episode because
I'm checking it out. And Josh Peck would be a better Nathan Drake than Tom Holland. Maybe that's the thing we should do on Twitter. Better Nathan Drake than Tom Holland.
Poor Tom.
Poor Tom. But
he's doing just fine.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'm going to stop feeling sorry for Tom Holland because he's getting paid.
Him and his millions of dollars will be just doing just fine.
Well, let's do ourselves a favor and move on and talk about the three major releases of the previous week. We'll start out with probably what we'll say is a quicker review, and that's just of Assembled, the making of Black Widow. It dropped. Dropped on Disney Plus. You know, we get these a few months after the releases. Black Widow came out for free on Disney Plus a few weeks ago, and thus we have Assembled, the making of Black Widow. And I'll say the same thing that I say for every single other Assembled. It was great, but I will never think about it again.
Good to know.
It's just, okay. Don't need it.
It almost makes you think, like, I don't know about you guys, but back in the day when you would buy the Blu-ray disc and you would look on the back and you'd, or the DVD, and you'd see all the, like, the making of and behind the scenes and bonus features, I feel like studios are like, but we still want to keep making those, but nobody buys discs anymore. So let's just throw them on our streaming service.
That's exactly what it is.
And, that's how I feel, man. I gave it a 3 out of 5 just because it provided me no real, it didn't clarify anything for me. It was just cool to see the making of Black Widow, and cool to see how passionate Scarlett Johansson is of Black Widow. Didn't age well because of the her telling Disney she's so thankful for the movie, and then like a week later she was like, "Sue."
I mean, she was thankful for the movie, then that's why she wanted to get paid for it.
True.
That's right.
So, Matt, what are you thinking? Are you thinking the same thing? Same old for Assembled?
Yes. Nothing really moved the needle on for me about this one.
I loved it.
Yeah. No. Really?
It was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cool. I mean, it just made me see more Florence Pugh, yeah. And that's never a bad thing.
Sure.
Or who?
Florence Pugh.
Oh, her. Her?
Yeah.
Oh, her? I didn't know her name.
Sister, Florence Pugh. That's right. That's her name.
You can tell how close I
paid attention. Pugh is her last name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, you can tell how close I paid attention.
She's great. We need more Florence Pugh.
I need... Okay.
Thank you for stopping.
Is there any more information we need to provide on this, or should we just move on?
Let's keep moving.
Scoop. Next up, we got Batman, the Long Halloween film, split into two parts for some reason. They could have just given us a 3-hour movie. They could have just done that, but instead they gave us two parts.
It wouldn't have even been 2 hours or 3 hours. It would have been like 1 hour and 45 or something.
Each part was like an hour and 20 minutes.
No, I meant it wouldn't even have been
three. It'd be just under 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have been like,
it'd be a normal movie.
Yeah, it'd be like 2 hours and 35 minutes or something. Yeah. You said it wouldn't have been, it would have been like an hour and 40. Oh,
no.
Yeah. Directed by Chris Palmer, based on the comics by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, Batman the Long Halloween. It stars Josh Duhamel, Naya Rivera, Jensen Ackles, a bunch of no-name actors, except for Josh Duhamel. What the hell is he doing in this? When it said Josh Duhamel in the opening credits, I was like, what? No Transformers movie this year, so Josh needed to cash in his check somewhere else.
Well, that Jupiter's Legacy money ran out, so.
I completely forgot that movie came out.
I never even finished it.
No, it was a show. Don't forget. You watched.
No, it was a show.
It's a whole
show. We watched like four episodes of it.
Jupiter? No, that's a movie. What? No. Oh, no.
You're thinking of Jupiter's Ascending.
Dude, this shows how much I remember about that show.
That's the one we all stopped watching. I stopped too, even though I liked it.
Oh, yeah. They canceled it, didn't they? So The Long Halloween is a 2021 American two-part animated direct-to-video superhero film produced by DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Animation based on the DC comics of the same name. It's the 42nd film that DC has done as an animated movie. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to think that they've done so many movies. So like I said, it was divided into two parts, part one and part two. Part one was 85 minutes. Part two was 87. So just around an hour and 20 each. The Long Halloween was interesting, man. I really, really, really liked part one.
Same here.
But part two fell very flat for me.
The ending sucked.
Full spoilers ahead. Full spoilers ahead. But... Did I catch it right that Harvey's wife was the killer the whole time?
Yeah.
She was Holiday, yes.
She was Holiday. Okay.
Stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't hate that idea, but like the execution of her explanation of like Harvey was never home. Shit so like I that.
Kill people.
So I
know she loved Alberto. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I completely forgot about that.
Oxford together.
That's right. They went to Oxford together. I completely forgot about that.
Part one hit hard, though.
I did like part one a lot, man. I think I might have given it a 5 out of 5. I really liked part one.
Yeah.
But part two, man, just...
I just didn't like
the took ending. That momentum. Well, it's not even the ending. Like, I was 20 minutes into part two, and I immediately thought, this is immediately already more boring than part one was. And not to say that part one was boring, but like it was noticeably, at least for me personally, I was like, I'm immediately already having a lot less fun with this one than part one did. Maybe just because part one took its time to introduce the whole like Holiday killer. Also, shout out to IMDb for this award-winning synopsis that says, are you ready for this, Matt?
I'm ready.
Batman investigates a murder spree that takes place on holidays.
Cut.
I mean... Is it wrong?
It's not wrong.
It just sucks.
You know what was funny is I was listening to this other podcast and they were talking about how so many movie summary websites suck that like we should just start making up our own. You know what? I'm going to do that.
Do it.
Here we go. Batman, The Long Halloween is about Batman hunting down a holiday serial killer, which you know, maybe is
that was different.
Nice.
Matt, where did you land on this? On both parts, overall, let's say.
Yeah. Overall, I thought it was just okay. I thought part one was slightly better than just okay, and I thought part two was slightly worse than just okay.
What about part two did it for you that made it less than the part one?
Just like what you said, it was just like kind of a slog. I felt like it just sort of felt like overlong. I feel like they didn't really do much in that second part that they couldn't have like cut down to like an extra half hour and tacked on the end of part two. And I just wasn't a I was just like really confused on like what kind of, so well, I was confused on what kind of Batman like we were getting, because like they were trying to make it seem like he was established, but also if he's not a detective like at all, like how established is he if he's, what's up?
Sorry, I would cut you off, but this is like years. I think this is like year three or four for him. He's still young.
Yeah.
Or no, it might be two. He's still young. And that's why like the movie that is coming out, the live action one, that's right. Why they're kind of comparing it to Long Halloween, just because he's young and, you know, hasn't established his detective roots and shit. You saw how he fell off the he was trying to grapple onto that train. He was falling off the side. Like,
that's true.
He doesn't do that. He's Batman.
So, yeah, I get that. But like, I feel like they didn't do a very good job of establishing that that was the case. True. I feel like that was like outside information. And also, like, Bruce Wayne's a smart guy. He's not going to be surprised by like having to be like this mass crusader, that like maybe some detective work would be needed at some point. Like, it's going to be a part of the job, sir.
Here's my major complaint with part two. This, I wrote this down. Why did all of the villains have to get involved?
That was my thing.
That's the concept of the
comic. I know the comic has that story, but let's pretend, I don't think personally they could have done away with the entire Long Halloween storyline and just had a holiday killer that killed on holidays, similar to Long Halloween, but kept it like a Harvey Dent. The movie was a Harvey Dent story to me. So like, why didn't we just get like the rise and fall of Harvey Dent? Like, kind of like what we got in The Dark Knight, how like over the course of the movie, we just see Harvey fall. And like, I don't think the Joker needed to be involved. I don't think like at the end, like the second part, like Poison Ivy and the Mad Hatter and Scarecrow, like why did they all have to be, and then the end battle with all like six villains versus Batman, I was like, what is this?
They would need to title it a different story. They should have titled it differently.
Might as well have called it Arkham Asylum with all those villains fighting him at once.
They had to make it similar to the comic book, and the comic book's not even, it's Calendar Man
ends up being the killer.
That's who he is. I was pretty thrown off when right away it was Calendar Man that he was talking to behind bars. I was like, what? It's completely different. I thought they were just going to make it. Because I love this. This is an interesting story.
Really?
It's all, and all the villains are involved, everything. That's why they put them all in there.
I heard that Ben Affleck's movie was supposed to be a Long Halloween trilogy. Like, Ben Affleck's Batman series of movies was going to be based on either Arkham Asylum / like the Long Halloween. And maybe even that's what Matt Reeves is going to do. Because like the Riddler, is supposedly a serial killer, and we still don't know like when the movie takes place, where it takes place, like
about a year and a half into his
B-Man. We could get a Long Halloween story, but I just didn't think all the villains needed to be involved. I think it would have been a perfect just Two-Face / the Holiday Killer,
right?
Like, to have those two rope in and at the end, and then to find out that his wife was the one that actually was doing the killing. I think that would have made a really cool third act.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like the villains made it into like the super long, almost 3-hour thing. Cause it's like, you cut out the stuff with them. Like, you're left with like a good, like ground level, like mob, like just have it be a mob story. Like, they already had that in there. Like, I'm fine with that. But like, when you bring in the other villains, it's like, okay, well, I don't care about the mob anymore. I want to see like what these other villains like are doing. And so like, but then the mob is still the main focus because they're the ones like getting killed. So like, I feel like its focus was just kind of all over the place.
You know what?
How cool though, that Joker just gets out of prison and the mob's just like, oh yeah, that's his territory now.
Well,
they're just like,
I was impressed because I've gone on record to say that I'm not a huge mob movie guy. Mm-hmm. However, like the whole mob centric story of this movie didn't bother me at all. In fact, I loved it. Like,
awesome.
The whole Falcone versus Maroni thing. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Connected more dots for me about Batman. Mm-hmm. Really, I was just like, wait a second. No wonder everything's so fucked, because they're owned by two crime families. Like, being so interested in mob shit recently makes total sense.
Hey,
makes blah, 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 blah.
Why was Solomon Grundy here?
Solomon Grundy.
That was like, why did Harvey... And this all goes back to, because the whole movie, they try to get you to think that that Harvey Dent is the one that's killing all of these people. What happened, besides the guy throwing acid in Harvey's face, what happened that gave Harvey the balls and the motive to go into the sewer and recruit Solomon Grundy?
I think it was just like whatever, after he got bombed, like his psyche like split in half, and like when he like leaves the hospital and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just big on like motives and shit.
Yeah.
So like the whole movie, he's this good guy dedicated to hunting down this holiday killer, and then snap of the fingers, he's a villain. It's not like in like The Dark Knight when Harvey Dent like slowly over time loses faith in the city, and then the Joker gets to him. And then yeah. Even then, to an extent, he doesn't go crazy. He just wants like, order.
He's pushed to his limits. I think that's a more interesting take on the character than this one is, of, you know, just sort of stating that his psyche was split and not showing us like how that happened.
Right. So that, I mean, if they would have, like you said, Matt, cut out all of the unnecessary stuff from the second part and just meshed it into two, or meshed the two into one, yeah. I would have just given this probably a 4 out of 5, because I really enjoyed that first part. But that second part, just with like them forcing in the other villains and stuff. Plus, like, what happened to Joker? He just disappeared.
Got his ass kicked.
Yeah, but like he didn't show up again.
Until the end, yeah.
Like, where the hell did he go? For the whole second part, he was absent until the last like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Whatever Joker wants.
I just like, there's holes there, and I want those holes to be patched. So overall, I enjoyed the first part. Part two fell off for me. Tanner, what's your
part two also fell off. I just hated the ending a lot. Like, the killer looked like a man the whole time. So like,
his face covered.
Well, no, but like it was this beefy mother, you know.
Like, yeah, and then she's like this, like
little petite thing,
petite twig, and then
she's just padded up.
Maybe
what my roommate said. I'm just like,
dumb. I mean, if she went to did you know she went to Oxford?
She could probably figure it
they
out.
They do some crazy stuff in Oxford, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Those Ivy League schools, man.
Ivy,
dude. Oxford's in England, bro.
True.
Oxford University.
That sounds stupid. Those no, Ivy League schools. Yeah, Oxford's in England, you dumbass.
No, they got Ivy over there, too.
Yeah, they got a lot of Ivy.
Poison?
Yeah, part two had a lot of Ivy that I just didn't see. This. Like, part two opens with Ivy Batman just fighting Poison Ivy, and I was like, where did this bitch come from?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
Like, you can start in the middle of the story, especially when it's part two, but how about something that has any relation to part one?
Yeah, it'd be different if part one ended with Batman getting a call that said, oh my god,
it did.
Poison Ivy broke into a bank.
Did you guys not see the end credit scene?
There's an end credit scene?
Yeah.
No one stays to the end credits of an animated movie.
I know, but you should have.
Was there an end credit scene?
Because it was Poison Ivy, yeah.
Really?
She got a hold of him and trans
no.
him.
I'm
no, you're lying to
you
me.
Can't. I think that it's there, but I'm not counting that as canon. I'm not staying to the end credit scene of a like something that has a part two available at the same
time. No, I believe you, but I'm with
I Matt believe here. You too. I think it's bullshit.
It is. Yeah. Me and my roommate were like, there's an end credit scene. What the? I'm glad we stayed and watched because it meant everything for the next one.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. Quick. But still, now I'm even more upset that they threw in an end credit scene.
So was there an end credit scene at the end of part two?
Shit. I don't know. I didn't check. Why didn't I check?
You know what? That's funny though, because you know what? Let's do that. My door just opened.
It's open.
Can you shut it?
Yeah.
Somebody just slammed their door next door, and my door just... I don't want to get murked by the holiday killer. Halloween is this weekend. Batman, the long Halloween.
Long Halloween.
I can't spell.
Halloween.
My contacts are dry as hell.
Apparently, Green Arrow and The Flash show up.
What? Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. I'm looking at Screen Rant right now.
Oh my god, I see it too.
Fudge.
Why?
That's stupid.
Nobody's watching the end credit scene of a straight to DVD movie.
Dude, straight to DVD, DC Universe.
I'm upset.
I'm glad I saw the first
50,000 of my disrespect. That is Batman: The Long Halloween parts 1 and 2 available on where did we watch this? HBO Max.
And there's no end credit scene to this review Max. Because yeah. It's a review.
Yeah, that's it.
And things should stay what they are.
You're right. Which leads us to the final topic of the day, which is
I'm so pissed.
Dune.
Sorry.
Also called Dune Part 1, revealed by the opening credits of the film, which
they did not advertise that well at all.
Nope. Dune was directed by Denis Villeneuve and is the featured adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction novel about the son of a noble family entrusted with the protection of the most valuable asset and the most vital element in the galaxy. This stars, are you ready for this? Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård, and Josh Brolin, as well as Dave Bautista and many others. The movie clocks in around 2 hours and 35 minutes. It's available in HBO Max, and it's playing in theaters as well. Matt, can I tell you guys my quick Dune experience from over the weekend? Tanner doesn't know this.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, hit us with it.
I ranted about this on Twitter. So you definitely don't know this. Yeah. And Matt only knows like the bullet points. So this is the full scoop. So Catherine and I went to go see Dune at noon on Sunday. And to go see it in IMAX, our local IMAX theater. And of course, because they said to see this movie in the largest screen possible. So we tried to do that. So first off, we go up to the cash register to buy our concessions. And my AMC card membership thing won't go through.
Again?
It won't activate. It won't. They won't even let us check out. Like, their system shut down. So it took. We had to hop to 3 different registers before it finally went through. So it finally goes through. We get into the theater and we get to the part. You know, you walk down the little aisle and then you come around the corner and you look up and you see all the seats. Oh, just hit the microphone there. And as soon as we're like, oh, let's go to start walking up the stairs, all the power goes off. The screen shuts off, the lights go off, and then a loudspeaker comes over the voice and says, there's been a fire. Go outside.
What?
And then the fire alarm just goes, and RIP headphone users. So we go, is this real life? And everybody in the theater is like, come on, man.
You're lying.
No, I swear to God. So we all go outside. Every movie theater, of course, in the entire theater evacuates. So even people that are in the middle of the movie evacuate.
Oh.
And in any other theater seeing any movie, the whole theater evacuates.
Oh, Jesus.
So we stand outside for about 25 minutes.
Are you shitting me?
This whole story is fake. I'm just kidding. No. So we stand outside for about 25 minutes. Fire department shows up. There was no fire. Apparently, some kid pulled the fire alarm.
Who saw that coming?
So, which is just an all-time trash move.
No,
in a movie theater, you douche.
Yeah. Major douche alert. So, but also a legend.
Legend.
but highly disrespectful.
Jesus, that's horrible.
So we stand outside for about 30 minutes. The fire department comes in. They do their sweep. They're like, all right, everyone can come back in now. So we go into the theater and they say, movie projectors are resetting. Movies will be on in like 20 minutes. Refill your drinks. Refill your popcorn. It's on us.
Oh, you were there.
Just figure it out.
Fucking 3.5-4 hours.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, my God.
So we get back into our seats. We sit in our seats. I'm like, all right, we've just drank all of our drink and all of our popcorn. I'm going to go refill it. But then I'm like, nah, that's a lot of popcorn and a lot of soda. I'm not refilling this. So I just put it on the ground. I'm like, all right, so we'll just wait. So we went to the bathroom, waited for the movie to start. And some guy comes in and says, it should just be a few more minutes. The fire department is just helping us turn off like the thing because the sirens won't shut off from the business. And apparently this is a situation across most businesses. is that the alarm has to be shut off by a fire department.
Yeah, that's pretty
So we're sitting there like, all right, so it's me a few more minutes. So another 30 minutes goes by.
Oh my God. So how long is this now?
So we got to the theater at like 11:45. It's now about 1:15. Oh, movie still hasn't come on.
0 minutes and 0 seconds of the movie Dune Part 1.
Correct.
Which is already 2.5 hours.
So,
oh my God. Yeah. Jesus.
I was fuming. But I was also honestly, I hadn't heard that somebody pulled the alarm until after we left, like on our way out.
Yeah.
So I wasn't pissed initially. I was just like, oh, this is standard protocol.
This happened.
There was a fire. This happens. This is just the first time it's ever happened to me. There are worse things in the world than what's happening to me right now. This is true. So about 30 minutes later, a guy comes in. It's now 1:15, and he goes, so we don't know how to shut the alarm system off, and neither does the fire department. And our system makes it so that if the fire alarm is going, the screens lock up and the projectors won't show anything on screen. So here's your options. Your option is to either sit here and wait for the technician to come out and figure it out with us, which could be as long as an hour. It could be as short as 20 minutes. It could be as long as 3 hours.
It's a Sunday. Or, so yeah.
And it's Sunday. Or your other option is to take this free movie ticket and go about your day. And we did that.
Oh, so you didn't even see it in the day. I was wondering why you texted it like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
So everything I said about Dune on social media was fake because I haven't seen the movie. I'm just kidding again. So we went to my parents' house upstairs to their second floor where they have a large projector screen and said, Mom and Dad, we're going to watch this movie here. Is that okay? Because initially, as we were walking to the car, we were like, oh, I guess we could look at other showtimes for other theaters. But at that point,
you're over it.
I'm over it. Exactly. Yeah. So we watched it at home. So that was my Dune theater experience. Shout out to AMC. Hey,
be your better. System,
which
dumbass.
Makes sense because Catherine said the system went down when we were checking out. Probably the same thing that triggered the fire alarm system.
Yeah.
She said it happens at school all the time. Like when fire things go off at schools, half the time it's because the school just lost power or internet or something.
Yep.
So shouts to my theater viewing experience. Watch it on HBO Max at my parents' house. That's my story.
Wow.
Matt. No.
What's up?
Tanner. We'll go to Matt in a second. Tanner, where did Dune land for you? Be honest.
It just didn't hit. I'm not going to trash it. I know it was a good movie. I know people loved it. Like I just started watching it and I could have been because I was exhausted. It's hard to follow. A lot of the freaking scenes, the good scenes that I wanted to see would cut. And I'd be like, what the fuck? And then like, I just was not interested whatsoever at all. 100% no, bored. I wanted it to end. And it's just not a lot of action. I thought there was going to be a lot of action, but like, it's not like the story I'm sure was great if I was like, but after like an hour or no, after the first 30 minutes, I probably would have shut it off if I wasn't watching it with my roommates. And I was just like, just waiting for it to end. So yeah, it just didn't hit for me. So I might need to watch it again because I want to see the hype about it. So that's what I was thinking about doing, watching it again. But Momoa was a fucking badass, but that's about it. That's it. That's my review. Just didn't hit.
What was your score? Where'd you land
I gave
on
it?
Two?
I just had a lot of problems with it.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you
think? You want to know what I think?
You're going to trash it.
No, I'm not going to trash it because I think the same thing as Tanner. First of all, this gave me major Game of Thrones vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. House of Targaryen.
Well,
whatever.
Not only the houses, but just the way it was filmed, how the characters talk to each other, how it was written. It gave me Game of Thrones vibes.
There's hardly any speaking, first of all.
Well, what do you mean?
It just didn't feel like there was hardly any dialogue.
A lot of dialogue.
There's a lot of dialogue.
Man, I just don't know what.
Here's my deal, man.
What movie did you watch?
I do gotta watch it
again. Here's my deal. I'm gonna watch it again.
I have to,
because that's why my score is a tentative 2 out of 5 too. Because and I don't want it to see like I'm uncultured or I just hated every second of this movie.
But
not even like in a way that like I hated Halloween Kills.
That I hated.
That's like a hatred, like
it was dumb as shit.
I would never try watching that movie again.
No.
I would love to watch this movie again.
Yeah, because I feel like I just need to follow along.
I just feel like Dune. This is the thing I said the whole time I was watching it with Catherine. Dune feels like the sequel to a movie that we never got.
Yes.
It felt like there was a lot of exposition. Or no, sorry, that's not the right word. It felt like there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of scenes that were like the follow-up to a scene that happened in a previous movie that I was supposed to care really heavily about. And I just was like, am I supposed to feel something here? I loved Jason Momoa's character. I loved Josh Brolin's character. I loved Oscar Isaac's character. I think all the actors did a really, really good job. Stellan Skarsgård was menacing as
the Baron.
The Baron, yeah.
The Baron, thank you.
The special effects, I can see why they said to watch this on a huge screen, because the special effects in this movie are magnificent.
They are awesome.
Like looks a lot more tactile than a lot of CG looks, especially on the scale that this one is.
Right.
And like you just said, I didn't feel much at all.
Yeah, I just felt empty, if I'm being honest. And maybe I would have had a different experience if I saw it in the theater, but I'm intrigued. I want more. I want to see the second or third part of this movie, because I heard even the other day that there's 3 parts and not just 2. So, which, you know, I'm game to see, but I just something didn't land. I got to watch it again, man,
because I
feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I help you guys out?
Yes, please. Please. Okay. I felt like I just did, like Tanner said, last thing I'll say, I just didn't know what was going on at all times.
Sure. Yes.
I was rooting for the characters. I just didn't know. But anyway, go on. Please educate us.
So the pitch that like got me kind of like in the right mindset to watch the movie was, like you said, it'll be confusing. Like it's, you know, sort of meant to be. But as long as you go in knowing you're rooting for Paul and you're rooting for House Atreides, and that's it. And then also that this is going to be part one. So it's going to be mostly like exposition and setup on things that will likely be, hopefully followed up on in the next movie. So those were the like 2 big kind of principles I went into the movie on. And I came away really liking it. I thought it was really solid and like for all the reasons you guys said. I will take one exception. I thought everyone's performance was great, except Timothy Chalamet. He was just kind of just a big bag of nothing.
He's like a love movie teenager actor.
Yeah. He's definitely more of like a capital D drama actor.
Like The Kissing Booth or some shit.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'll give the guy a little bit more credit than
come on.
I'm sorry. He's been in some good movies.
But yeah, so I thought that it was, what you guys were wanting, it sounds like it did it for me. I really like the scale. I didn't even see it in theaters. I watched it at home, but for the next ones, I'm definitely going to make a trip to the theaters, because I definitely like, there are a few scenes where I'm like, man, I could use a bigger screen for this. And the score was really good too. I don't often notice the score, but yeah, man, it was just really beautiful. Entertaining. Yeah.
I think all of the technical elements of this movie were so good that it makes me want to watch it again.
Like when those big ass cannons like went up to start firing. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is real.
And the whatchamacallit, the sandworm things.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Those things were dope. And every single time you saw the teeth like emerge from the sand, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, and I loved it.
Yeah.
That part I did love. That I felt something, terror. And just, when that fucker came on screen, the just Baron.
Like watching like the end sequence where
the duel,
like I was like,
I don't care.
Why is this important? I get that why that was important, yeah. But like, yeah, I feel I like the movie wanted us to think it was more important because of previous. I think they honestly, sorry, my thoughts are all over the place. I think the movie wanted the movie goer to be somebody who is familiar with Dune already.
I think that's so. What, I think that yeah. That's what they were working with. Yeah, I completely agree with the ending and the end sequence. I feel like they passed by like two or three great, like highly climactic endings to get to that one. That was just kind of a disappointment. But then I was thinking about it more, and it's like sort of like the first time that we've seen like Paul like kind of stand up for himself and like start to sort of forge his own path and make a decision for himself. So I thought that was like the only strong positive reason for the ending it were it did. But yeah, I definitely agree that the ending left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like there's something I'm missing, so that makes me I'm gonna go back and
I'm gonna watch it too.
And watch it again, I think. I think this movie would do really, really well if it was like a series.
Agreed. It needs but more.
Yeah, I feel like I was just gonna say,
at that point, would it be too similar to Game of Thrones? Because it feels Game of Thronesy.
You wanna know what movie it most reminded me of watching for the first time?
What's that?
Lord of the Rings.
Hmm. It gives off epic vibes like those movies do and like those shows do. I feel like I'm missing out, so I gotta figure it out.
Well, whatever you do, just make sure, just like call the theater ahead of time, tell them to like lock down the
make sure your damn fire alarm doesn't go off.
Yeah,
that's the case, man. If and when I watch this movie again, I'm going to go and try to watch it in a theater.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it just at home again, cause I'm afraid I'm either going to just get sidetracked or be less interested. Like I want to go and get the theater experience.
Sorry.
Cause like audiences across the world are clamoring at this movie being one of the best of the year. And I feel like I'm like, damn, like this is what I actually feel bad about giving a bad review to. Yeah.
That's why it's tentative. That's the word.
Yeah.
It's tentative.
You're reserving the right to bump it up or
reserving the right,
which most likely will happen. I hope
reserving the right to bump it up. But for now, 2 out of 5, just because it didn't hit me.
Yeah,
sure.
But I'm hoping it does. So,
and I wanted to give it a 3, but like, I was just not interested the whole time.
Yeah. So I might have like, even fallen asleep at a point. I, if I'm being honest, I don't know.
Another thing that sort of just kept it from the, because I can't remember if I said, but I gave it a 4 out of 5. There was just so much of like Paul hallucinating that I could definitely see that's probably one of the parts you fell asleep. But I think all the pieces like in between it definitely like helped it. And I like the tech. The tech's really cool, and they have like a really
awesome,
lot of really cool ideas with like, oh, you know. Yeah, the shield and the
that
the
was awesome.
That, like, you don't lose a thimble of water over a course of a day when you're in like freaking 140 degrees or whatever they said. It's crazy.
Yeah, how do we not have that yet here? Like, right? Now, I feel like that'd be really tough to develop.
Yeah, man.
Get some startup in Silicon Valley to get that on their to-do list.
Dude, maybe we should get Frost Buddy on it. They seem like they're in the insulation business.
Yeah, I think Frost Buddy's going to be the one to develop a force field technology for the military.
We'll see. They got like everything.
They do. They sure do. So that's our thoughts on Dune, man. That's it so far. You know, tentative. Hopefully it changes. But for now, I'll say it. That top 10 most disappointing movies of the year, Dune might be on there. But we'll see. We'll see if it changes. Until then, but that's Spinge Boys 243, folks.
Two, three.
Next week is a big week. It's Marvel week. Well, next episode isn't, but the following episode is because of Eternals. Comes out November 5th, I believe.
Wait, isn't that the same weekend as Disney Plus Day?
No. Well,
shit. Yes, it is.
No, it's the weekend before Disney Plus Day.
Shit. Well, actually, that'll be perfect because then we've already seen, and then they can give a really big ass trailer.
I think they're banking on a lot of people seeing Eternals that opening weekend, so that Disney Plus Day may introduce a, maybe they'll announce a sequel depending on how the numbers are. But they will, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it's just okay so far. I'm hearing that it's the Rotten Tomatoes score came out for 73%, which is pretty low for Marvel, especially in recent years. But I'm sure it'll be good. I hope I don't give it the same reaction I gave Dune, because I heard a lot of people don't like it.
Why?
Because it's so different. It kind of breaks away from the Marvel formula,
which I'm kind of ready for.
I am too.
Yeah, me too.
I am too. So I'm hoping that it gets us.
I'll tell you what will get me though.
The end credits scene?
Spider-Man.
Supposed to get a trailer soon. Very soon. So it can launch ahead of time, ahead of Eternals. But we'll see. But until then, guys, like I said at the top, rate us, review us, tell a friend in need, follow us on the socials. We'll see you next time. Bye, Matt.
See ya.
Bye, Tanner.
See ya.
Bye, 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 bye.